All right, welcome everybody. This is Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We are in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's see, what are we doing? 14 to 21, part 2. Part 2 today. Get this fixed. Morning. I'm pretty much awake, I think. It's always fun when you're traveling. Oh, my mic wasn't hooked up very well. That's probably not good. Let me get my mic on. Hold on. Hello, everybody. Now you can hear me a little bit better. How's that? Hi. All right. My bangs have just been also weird and out of control this week. All right. Glad you are here. Grab your Bible. Grab your Bible study. If you don't already have your Bible study, if you're brand new maybe to the study, first time joining us, thank you for being here. You can go to the La Mirada Christian Church website and go to the Women's Ministry page. Just find Bible study, scroll down, find Ephesians. We are in Ephesians. Download that Bible study, open it on your Kindle, on your iPad reader, whatever, or print it, which is nice to have it printed so you can hand write. Of course, you can just look at it and jot down some thoughts and responses on some notebook paper or your journal. I write in my Bible a lot of times. I love going back and seeing the references there and kind of like a journal of sorts, a journal of spiritual thought, where I've been in the Word. All right, so let's start with prayer, and we'll get going. Glad you're here. Yay, let's get started. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to know you, and I want to know the love of Jesus, and I don't want surface-level knowledge or just factual knowledge. I want to know you and the breadth, length, height, and depth and love of Christ. That is my simple prayer today. Amen. Ephesians 3. We're going to read through the whole chapter again today. And as is our custom, we read through the entire book on the first day of the study, whatever book we're focusing on, and then we read each chapter once again as we delve into that chapter. So let me get some water here. And let's read through chapter 3 again. So grab your Bibles, follow along. Whatever translation you're using is great. Version that you're using. Mine is from the ESV. But again, whichever one works better for you is fine. I'll read from the ESV today. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's get into our study now. Just work through the scripture as we wrap up chapter 3. Paul picks up the thought he interrupted back at the beginning of chapter 3. Now we see his final prayer for the Ephesians before he moves on to the second half of the epistle. Review Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, and draw a box around or highlight every occurrence of the word may and the verb following it. For example, verse 16 says that he may grant. So that combined verb. If you remember your helping verbs from grade school, may is a helping verb. So it goes with other verbs, that he may do this or that he may do that. So let's look at those mays that Paul is saying, beginning in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he, here's our first one, may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, draw a box around that, through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have, what? Strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of that love that you're rooted and grounded in. And here's the love also, to know, so that would be, and that you may know, the height of Christ, that the love of Christ, sorry, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. For this reason, the passage begins. For what reason? Well, consider Ephesians 3, 6 through 13, which we've been through before. And also that I reminded you when we started this chapter, this would be a really important focal point. So hopefully you're keying into that and seeing that as it comes up. But that reason is that we are fellow members, partakers, and heirs together, that we're on a mission to bring light, as Paul says, to everyone. What is the plan of the gospel? That we have boldness to access with confidence. Also that we should not lose heart over any of his suffering. So this is for this reason that he's been going through all this time. So number three, what does Paul's outward prayer position communicate to you about his inner life? So consider that the traditional prayer, a position for prayer in Paul's time, was standing or even laying face down. In this case, he bows his knees, which is a passionate and humble display, an earnest display. The fact that he takes his time to mention his posture in his prayer, he could have just simply said, for this reason, I pray standing, I flat out pray, right? He's saying, I pray kneeling, I bow my knees. So we have lots of emotion expressed here in pleading. And that's actually evident throughout all of Ephesians, isn't it? Because he knows these people. He has spent over 3 years with them, developing relationships, moving through ministry together, loving each other, working through things, seeing one another being persecuted. And of course, Paul himself right now is in prison. So Paul prays to the, in the next verse, Father, from whom every what family is named. Let's take a look at 3:14 through 15. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth and on earth is named. And then number five, in praying to the Father, who is Paul emulating? Well, if you remember from Matthew 6, where the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, Paul is doing this exact thing. He is, having been taught by Christ, he's now emulating who we pray to, and that is to the Father. In praying to the Father, what theme is Paul reinforcing from earlier in his epistle? So let's go back through and see these several verses to consider. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 19. In 14 we read, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." And in verse 2:19, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And then in 3, verse 6 again, that we are fellow heirs, members, and partakers. So he's reinforcing the family theme. He's talking about the household of faith. He's talking about fellow heirs. Who are heirs? Family members are heirs. So in 2:14, he's made us both one. In 2:19, fellow members of a household of God. And in 3:6, fellow heirs and members and partakers together. So how has Paul described Christ and the glory of God? Let's take a look back at chapter 3, verse 8 on that one. Back over here. In verse 8, "To me, though I am very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So in verse 8, we see him describing Christ as having the riches here that are unsearchable. And in verse 3:16, we see the, where is my 16? Isn't that funny how they hide from you? "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So we have God's glory that is rich and in a sense also unsearchable, as Christ is as well. So what is Paul praying in verses 16 through 17 here of chapter 3? What would be granted to his creator? What is he what is his heart of his prayer? What is he saying there? That we would be in 16 through 17. That according to his riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that to what end? What's the purpose of that? So that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may, and you've done all your mays on that one, that Christ may dwell rooted and grounded in love. So he's praying that we'll be strengthened in our inner being, to what end? That Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. So what does it imply that we can be rooted in love? Consider the metaphor Paul uses. Think of roots, imagery of roots. Describe what comes to your mind when you picture being rooted in his love. The Greek word actually is the word rizo or rizo, which meaning to cause to take root like a plant. Ginger and turmeric are rhizomes. We get our word rhizomes from that. And so it's a plant metaphor there. So Christ, through Christ's love, we can flourish like a plant. We see that metaphor throughout Scripture, with roots that are deep in the soil, nourished in God's love, is the imagery he's creating there. And what does the imagery of grounded mean? The Greek word is athimaleo, being founded, as in building a foundation that's firmly established. And so for many of your translations might actually say rooted and founded in his love, like a foundation. The ESV translates that grounded. I would probably go with founded, actually, myself, because the whole concept here is the roots like a plant and then foundation like a building. So rooted and founded in his love. So take a minute to draw what that looks like to you. And maybe I'm picturing roots that are going down deep and that firm foundation of the soil surrounding all of that and then spreading up through the branches and expressing the fruits of the Spirit, you know, God's love. I left a space for you to go back and draw in your visual imagery there. So perhaps when you decided to give your life to God through Jesus Christ, you prayed a prayer to, quote, invite him into your heart. Now that's exactly where Christ dwells, in your heart. The Greek word for dwell used here is katokeo, which means to be exactly at home. It carries a sense of permanence. It communicates that this is where Christ belongs, in your heart. In John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word for dwelt is the Greek word skenu, meaning tabernacled, which is a temporary dwelling. Christ came and walked this earth and was temporarily with us, or tabernacled with us, or dwelt among us. That's temporary. Now Christ has come so that we can have Christ in our hearts permanently. Tabernacling, skenio, and katoikeo, permanently. Isn't that beautiful? So what subjects have you needed strength to comprehend? For me, in high school, it was chemistry. And in college, it was a philosophy of math class. I sure needed strength in both of those classes. They were well beyond the way my brain naturally functions. Grammar, vocabulary, spelling, that's my happy place. That's where I'm comfortable. In those subjects, I had to really put forth effort, though. And often it was really discouraging. What does Paul pray for on behalf of Christians in regard to their strength in chapter 3, verses 18 through 19? Let's take a look and read it again. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So he's praying for strength to comprehend. Does that seem odd to you that someone would pray strength to comprehend something? We could have strength to hike up a mountain. We could have strength to finish a workout. We could have strength to do physical. But he's praying for the strength to comprehend this love of Christ, and really emphasizing that in the same way that I needed strength to comprehend maybe philosophy of math or a chemistry class. Paul is saying even more importantly is that you would have the strength to really grasp the height, the length, the depth, the width, everything of Christ's love. And isn't it amazing how something that unsearchable, Paul goes right into it and says it's unsearchable, and yet I'm going to pray that you have strength to search that out, to really grasp and understand that. So there's two times in his epistle that Paul describes something as, quote, surpassing understanding or knowledge. What are they? Well, in Ephesians 3:19, we see, like I just mentioned, the love of Christ that is surpassing. And do you remember in Philippians 4:17 that the peace of God that transcends or passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds? So this idea of things of God's, Christ being beyond our comprehension, that he's praying for the strength for us to comprehend that. Isn't that beautiful? They're not meant to be out there remaining mysterious, incomprehensible. They're meant to be searched, found, and comprehended. So in Ephesians 2:22, Paul says that we are a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In 1:23, the fullness of Christ fills all in all. Now in 3:19, what is Paul's prayer on our behalf regarding that fullness? Well, he says that we would be filled with all the fullness of God in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Again, that completeness, a sense of fully having the strength to comprehend and then to be filled within us totally and completely with God in Christ Jesus. So in youth group, we used to sing that song. Do you remember it? I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Remember that song? I think Paul was praying the same for us, that we would have that sense of fullness and completeness and really getting it about who Christ is. What does this tell you about Paul's priorities? Well, that everything that he has ever prayed, that he prayed that we would have more of Christ. Do you pray that way? Isn't that an important role model for us to have? That among all the things that we're bringing to the Father and asking for, that we should be praying that we would have more of Christ, that we'd have strength to comprehend. Use Paul's as a prayer model for yourself to make sure that your priorities aren't on the physical, but on the spiritual. And all these things will be added to you, right? So, summarize what Paul has prayed for on behalf of the Christians here in verses 14 to 19. Review all those may statements. Remember, I asked you to go and draw a box around them? Let's go revisit them and dig into that. Verse 16, that he may grant, remember what that was? Go back and look at your boxes. Strengthened with power, that he may grant that you would be strengthened with power. And verse 17, so that Christ may, remember that one? Verse 17, that he may dwell in your hearts. Like we pray the prayer, maybe you've heard the sinner's prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, I confess your name, right? We invite Jesus into our heart. I've heard people even criticize that. Jesus doesn't dwell in our hearts. We shouldn't tell people that. Yes, he does. There's our scripture for that. Christ dwells in our hearts. All right, verse 18, so that you may have what? Strength to comprehend. And verse 19, that you may know the love of Christ that surpasses all of knowledge. And in verse 19 also, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So, over there, you see the brackets I wrote out for you, and underneath that, what is the unifying focus of every part of Paul's prayer? Every single one of those things can be distilled down to a focal point on one thing, Christ. Knowing Christ, knowing his love, being filled with the fullness of Christ, everything points to Christ. Just like the entire Bible does, everything points to Christ. Considering all Paul has asked for on our behalf, how does he describe what God can do in verse 3:20? Well, one of many of our favorite verses, I think, in all of God's word. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly more than all we can ask or think. So here Paul has asked on behalf of them that they would be strengthened, that they would have Christ in their heart, they would have strength to comprehend the power and the love. That they would have love that surpasses, that's all knowledge and filled with the fullness of God. And then he goes on to say, God can do more abundantly than all of this. We're going to ask this, and God can go beyond that, beyond what we can ask or even think and imagine. So Paul felt so strongly about this that he invented a word. It's pretty exciting, actually, when you read it in the Greek. A word to help us grasp this concept. Depending on your version, Ephesians 3:20 reads that what God can do far more abundantly in the English Standard Version, or immeasurably more in the NIV, or exceedingly abundantly, which is maybe the version many of you have memorized, like I did out of it, and that's from the King James. In the Greek, the phrase is hyper ekpariso, which translates literally the beyond of abundance, and it has the same, it has a sense of infinity. That we're finite, and that this aspect of God, this all of God, is infinite. It's one of Paul's, quote, superlatives, right? So if I say I worked really hard, that's a superlative. It expands on how I worked. I have more of this. She has more than I do. He had the most. Those are all superlatives. So Paul creates his own super superlative, really expanding on it. And he actually coined this to express God's capacity to transcend all that we could ask or think. But don't miss this, that it is the power of God that is at work within us. So ask, and ask big, and let God do the rest. Finally, what is the point of getting the answer to this powerful prayer? Write that doxology. Literally, a doxology is worship words, doxos and ology, or logos, worship words that Paul wraps up with in verse 21 there. So the final concluding word, to him be the glory into the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful way to end chapter 3. Amen. And that ends our study today as well. What a powerful way to end our study time together. So as we conclude today, chapter 3, I hope that what you're taking home from this is similar to what I am as I read through chapter 3, that the riches of Christ are unsearchable, but we need to search them. That the love of Christ is unfathomable, but we need to seek it out. And we need to pray for strength to comprehend it. It's not something that will come naturally to us, right? Because why? Because we're finite. We think like this. But nothing about Christ is inside of a box because he's infinite, right? So we need to pray for the strength to comprehend that. And that there's great riches to be found in that pursuit in and of itself. And that when we pray and ask the Father to reveal that to us, he's going to do exactly what we ask? No, which is so exciting. He's going to do far more abundantly than we can ask or that we can think. I love it. Okay. Thank you for being here with me today. I always enjoy the time together in the study. And be sure to share this. Let people know what you're learning and maybe a key verse that stood out to you, a concept that you learned, or maybe an aha moment that you had when you're reading through God's Word today. Let other people know. Take a picture of your study. It's always fun. Maybe draw your picture, put it on Instagram, and you can use the hashtag #DwellingRichly so that we can see one another's pictures in that hashtag group, okay? Thank you for listening on YouTube, on Facebook, on the podcast, everywhere you are. And go share today the riches of God's grace and love and beauty and glory in our lives. All right. I'll be back here on Monday. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. And for those of us who attend together at La Mirada Christian Church, don't forget, this Sunday, Pastor Shane will be beginning our new series through Ephesians called Super Church. Okay, so be looking for that. And why don't you go back and reread chapter 1 and go back through your study again and revisit chapter 1 and be ready for this Sunday's message. What a deep richness we'll have having come together in this study and then and revisiting it together as Pastor Shane leads us through Ephesians again. All right, God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. I'm off to the amazing doTERRA Essential Oils Prevention again today with friends and family. And I'll be back here on Monday, regular bat time, regular bat channel, as usual, 7 a.m. on Monday morning. Till then, you are loved. You are prayed for. Thank you for signing in so I can see who you are. Leave a comment or message there and so that I can pray for you by name. And I'll look forward to being back with you on Sunday. I'll be on the live stream from church on Sunday if we have good cell coverage traveling through. So look forward to seeing you there in church. Go sit up in the very front row at church on Sunday, okay? That way I can see you through the camera. All right. Bye, everybody. See you on Monday.